Parsha begins with Sori Imenu dying in Hebron, and Avraham Avinu is Mesasik in the Kfura. So the Rishonim raise a question over here, that from the Chumash you get the impression that they didn't live in Hebron. They were living in Be'er Sheva, at the end of the Akedah. They lived in Be'er Sheva. According to the Medrash, Sora died right after the story about the Akedah. So why did she die in Hebron? She went to a conference, or she went to the movies there. What was going on in Hebron? So some of the Rishayim HaChumash quote the Gemara in the end of Sukkah. The Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech heard from the Malach HaMoviz that they were going to take the lives of two of his servants, two of his black servants. That's what it says in the Gemara. So he didn't want the Malach HaMoviz to succeed in taking their lives. So he sent them far away from Yerushalayim to a very distant location that they should avoid the Malach HaMoviz. And the Malach HaMoviz was so excited when they came there. And the Gemara has the expression, Ravloi de Barinish, the feet of a person in an Arvindai. They bring the person to the location where he's supposed to go. The Malach HaMoviz was given instructions that he should take the lives of these two Avadim in that location. Malach HaMoviz is breaking his head. How am I going to get to that location? They live in Yerushalayim. They work with Shlomo HaMelech in the palace. So min hashamayim, they were misavei, that Shlomo HaMelech should decide to send them over here. So that's what some of the Rishonim say over here. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to have the Ovis buried in Hebron. Apparently, that's what the Zohar says. Hebron is has the Pesach Pischo Shel Gan Eden is over there. So min hashamayim, they caused that Sora, she lived in Be'er Sheva. They caused that she should happen to be visiting, maybe it's Pasha's Chayisor, and everybody goes to Hebron. So whatever. So she went to Hebron. And then, so she died there. Min hashamayim, they took it to Hebron. She should die there in order that she should be buried there. So Avraham Avinu starts to negotiate with the Bnei Ches, and he says, Ger v'toshav anochi mochem. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, it's a strange expression. Ger v'toshav. Ger means that I'm an outsider. And v'toshav means that I'm a regular citizen. I'm one of the regular people. So which is he? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested al derech hapshat that the Jewish people in this world are always bebchinas ger v'toshav. There are some things that we go along with the umas olam. We have to do medical research, and we have to work for the economy and for security of the world and to fight terrorism and everything else. We have to work along with everybody else and all the other things. And there are other things where we have absolutely no shaykhs with the Ummah Soil. So the Jews are always with this tied to the Sasri, and we have to know where to draw the line. Which areas we have to act like a ger, which areas we have to act like total strangers and we have nothing to do with the Ummah Soil, which areas we're Toisha, we work along with them. There are some people who emphasize the ger. They don't have any shaykhs with the nachrim at all. They don't want to have any shaykhs at all. There are some people, or some Jewish people, they emphasize the teishav too much. Everyone has to strike the proper balance between the ger and the teishav. So Avraham Avinu lived over here for years with the nachrim in Eretz Yisrael. He was working with them, guiding them, whatever. And then all of a sudden he says, but my wife passed away. I'm not allowed to bury her in a regular cemetery. You have to have a kever Yisrael. He's asking mechila from them. So he says, I lead a life of a tarte de sasri. In some areas I'm a ger, some areas I'm a toshav. And I apologize. When it comes to burying my wife, I have to act like a ger. I have to act like an outsider, total outsider. The Jews lead a totally different life, and we die differently, but very differently. Everything is totally different. Now, Soloveitchik used to tell over a story that he heard from one of the Rothschilds, the wealthy Rothschilds, who originally were from Frankfurt, and then they live in France now. So one of the wealthy, Baron Rothschild, one of them passed away. He wasn't, I don't think he was overly religious. A lot of them are intermarried, unfortunately. So one of them, who lived in France all his life, when he died, he left instructions that he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Charles de Gaulle was the president of France at that time, so he was very upset. He said, what do you mean? The man was born in France, he was educated in France, he made money in France, he was a business in France, he lived his whole life in France, and he died in France, he's going to be buried in France. He's not going to let them bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So that was, so somehow there was, he left instructions, the president de Gaulle left instructions that they're not allowed to take his body to Eretz Yisrael. But it was the middle of the one of the wars, I think it was Mohammed Sheshet Hayyim or something, so the extra halal planes or something. But somehow the family did succeed in smuggling his body out and marrying him in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik was saying the way de Gaulle felt insulted. He's insulting France. He's a Frenchman. The man was a Frenchman. What is he going? He leaves instructions, mustn't bear it as if he has no shaykhus with France. Truth of the matter was that he was probably an assimilated Jew. He wasn't self-observant. So he was a little bit too much of a Taishot. But he felt in his heart, the man who died felt in his heart he was a ger, at least been a ger to this. At least he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to identify with the Jewish people. So even though during his lifetime he didn't identify that much with the Jewish people, but he knew that after he died, that's where he belongs. He doesn't belong here. So he negotiates finally, he buries his wife and he buries her in a separate cemetery. The mitzvah of Kavura only says on the Chumash Dvarim by Harugei Bezin. The original pasuk says, Ki yeh b'yish chet mishpat mavis v'humas. Salisa osa al ha'etz. Asala nevlos al ha'etz. You're not allowed to leave him overnight. Ki kovetik v'rena b'yam ahu. There's a mitzvah of Kavura. It has to be Kavura b'yam ahu. Halanas ha'meis is osa. Ki, because man was created b'tzelem alakim. Ki kidlas alakim talui. The man is created with Tzelem Elokim, and it's a violation of Kavod Abrius. Kavod Abrius, the whole din of Kavod Abrius is based on the fact that man was created with Tzelem Elokim. So the original pasuk of Kvura, which with the mitzvah of Kvura is based on Kavod Abrius, which in turn is based on Tzelem Elokim, the original pasuk only says by Harugei Bezin. Ki yibish chet mishpat mavis v'humas, the Bezin kills him, kavetik b'reno. So the Gemara raises the question in Sanhedrin, and well, how do you know? Is there a mitzvah minatorah of Kvura by Shar Meis Midrabbanah? For sure there's a mitzvah for the Shaila is it minatorah Midrabbanah? So the Gemara seems to have a machloikis hatanaim. There are two brises there in Sanhedrin that are word for word exactly the same. The Gemara quotes two brises, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and everything is exactly the same. The whole difference is that one brise says, Rem is l'kvura minatorah minayin. The other brise says, Minayin l'kvura minatorah. So why did the Gemara quote two prices that are exactly identical? So the Lecha Mishnah on the bottom of the Rambam and Hilchos Ovel, and the Rambam quotes the laws of Kvura, the Lecha Mishnah points to this question and he says he thinks that that's the machlokes between the two prices. So the brisa that starts off, Remez l'Kvura Menator, thinks that Kvura Shar Meisim other than Harugei Bezin is only the Rabbanon. And the brisa that says, Minayin l'Kvura Menator, thinks that it's a real Drosha Gemura, it's their Raisa. The drasha that Gemara comes up with, and it says kikovitik berena b'yamahu akeifa loshim, and the Gemara has an ongoing machlekes satana. Well, the dibur terek l'shem b'ni adam, lo dibur terek l'shem b'ni adam. Do you have the right to darshan l'shem is kfulim or not? So if you follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that dibur terek l'shem b'ni adam machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So if you say dibur terek l'shem b'ni adam, so the pashtus says you can never darshan any l'shem is kfulim. That's the way people talk, and that's the way the Rabbanu Shlom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. Way people talk. And we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion that Lo debater for the Shem and the Adam. So we assume that whenever you have the Shemis Kvilim, you have Nosim Titan, Hanik Tanik, Vosayach Tivta, Chashim Tishivenu. Whenever you have a Kefal Oshin, so we assume that you darshan something. So we darshan over here also. Kovetik Berena by Yom Ahud, it says by the Haruge Bezna, we assume that it comes Lerabbis, even Shah Mesim as well. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about Kvura and a mausoleum. So he starts off with this, where the Kvura b'karka is a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. He starts off with this Lecha Mishnah. We assume, the Rambam assumes, the Rambam paskens l'halacha that Kvura sameis b'karka is d'oraisa, not some Kvura to put the body in a vault somewhere. Kvura b'karka is d'oraisa. That's what we assume. At one point, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, let's learn out from the story in Chayisara. Why does the Torah write the Sipurei HaTorah? Why does it write the stories? The Torah should just have the halachas mentioned. Why tell all the stories? Obviously the stories are told to teach us. We should learn from the others. If the Torah writes a story, we assume it's written because the Rebbe Shlom is approving of what they did. Once in a while the Torah writes what the others did and the Chumash disapproves. So we know not to do like that. Yaakov Avinu had a favorite son. He showed favoritism to Yosef more so than to the other brothers, and it turned out to be a disaster, turned out to be a catastrophe. So the Gemara says, it's written on the Chumash to teach us not to do like that. But most of the time, the story of the others is written that we should learn. It's written with the approval of the Rebbe Shlom. So here, the fact that it's recorded in the Chumash that Avraham Avinu negotiates not only for Kvura, but for Kevi Yisrael, so it seems to indicate that that's the halacha, that you have to have Kvura. She wasn't Harugei Bezin. You have to have Kvura by all the Meisim. So the Gemara says that doesn't necessarily prove the point. We know that there is a din of Kovar Ameis. That's the Pasuk, Lo Yitamo. Pasuk says, Lo Yitamo, the coin is not permitted to be Mitamei to Meisim, unless it's one of the Zayin Kravim. So then the Pasuk says, Lachos HaPsuva. So Gemara has a machlekes in Sota Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, and another place in Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, how do you mean Lo Yitam? Rabbi Shmuel says Lo Yitam is a reshus, means that the kohen is permitted to attend the funeral of the seven relatives, and we pass like Rabbi Akiva that Lo Yitam is a chayv, he's obligated to. So the Rambam lists it in the Sefer HaMitzvah, that's the mitzvah of Kavod Abrius. The Gemara has a whole sugya in Brochas Dav Chaf about Kavod Abrius. Everything is based on that pasuk Lo Yitam. Different degrees of Kavod Abrius. Kavod Abrius to relatives, Kavod Abrius to non-relatives. How much, how a person is sleeping, he doesn't have any clothes on, he's sleeping. And then, does he have to, and then they, a kohen is sleeping in bed. And then they announce that somebody died in the building. Does he have to run out right away without any clothes on, or is he allowed to stay a few minutes to put something on? So the Shulchan Aruch discusses the topic of Kavod Abrius, to run out without any clothes is more embarrassing than the relatives not attending the funeral. So there's different degrees of Kavod Abrius, and it depends how serious an issue of Kavod Abrius is it, and how serious an issue is it that you want to violate. Well, what is it coming, what is it being doicha, what is it in conflict with? So there is a principle of Kavod Abrius. How do you determine, and the Kavod is due to other people, not always in the same degree. You have to be mechabed all human beings. You have to show kavod abrius to everybody. All the umasayim were also created with tzelanot. You have to show kavod abrius to everybody. You have to show more kavod to talmid chacham. You have to show kavod to the melech. Kavod hamelech is other from kavod talmid chacham. There's a din of kavod hanavi. Kavod hanavi is higher than kavod hamelech. There's a din of kibud aviyim. You know, kibud av, kibud em. Different degrees of kavod. The baal is mechuyav b'kavod ishto. The ishto is mechuyav b'kavod bailo. Different degrees of kavod to different people, like the pasuk says, "We have to the racha kamoicha." It's not a mitzvah I should love my next door neighbor's wife to the same extent that I love my own wife. The Gemara said, "We have to the racha kamoicha." I'm supposed to love my wife more than the next door neighbor's wife, and different degrees. I have it to different to relatives and to non-relatives, and to the next door neighbor's wife is over there somewhere, not on the same level as my own wife. So, "We have to the racha kamoicha" doesn't apply to everybody equally. And lo yitama, the mitzvah of kavod abrius, does not apply to everybody equally on different degrees. So the Gemara says, how do you determine what's kavod? So take for example, kibud av. The Gemara says, what's kibud av? Machilo, mashkehu, manilo, marchitzo. So let's say I'll tie my father's shoelaces. I'll make my father a cup of hot coffee. So he says, I'm not an invalid. I can tie my own shoelaces. He doesn't want that service. So in Shulchan Aruch they assume that Ritzon Sholotim Zehu Kvodo. What determines what's kavod? Based on the perception, does it look like you're being mechabed the person, or does it look like you're insulting the person? So the Gemara says that kavod is always based on the perception. Kavod is always kavod amaduma. It's always what does it seem to be? So the Gemara says maybe the Chumash records that Avraham Avinu buried his wife Sarah because that was the minig. Maybe it's only been hugging the yamim. Maybe that was the minig in the days of Avraham Avinu that they all used to bury the mace. And man, there is a din of kavod amace. There is a din of kavod abrius. So since that's the minig, so the din requires mitam kavod that you have to bury the mace. What if you live in a community where the minig amakim is that they cremate all the bodies? And maybe then the kavod would require, kavod amace requires, you should cremate the body. Whatever is the minig, that's what you have to do. Take for example the hesped. It says vayavar avam lispad l'sar. He delivered a hesped. So what if hesped is an absolute din? We learn that from this pasuk, you have to deliver a hesped. Hesped is an absolute din, whether you like it or not. Gemara says no. Hesped is because that's expected. The minig olam is that everybody has hesped. If somebody dies and they need instructions, we do before no hesped. No is no. So the Gemara says hesped is kavod ameis, and kavod all depends on what it seems to be. The person is machalan is kavod. He doesn't want, so you don't do it. Hesped is not an absolute obligation. In Shulchan Aruch they quote you have to be masped men and women. They quote because it says Avraham Avinu said a hesped for his wife. So maybe kvura is only if the person expects it. If that's the minig, you have to do whatever the minig is. But if the minig becomes that they cremate the body, so the Gemara says, maybe you're not mechuyav to. So that's why the Gemara says it's not enough to learn from this parsha. Maybe he only did it because it's a minig. That's why the Gemara has to dig up that drosha. Kovet tikberenu, kefaloshen, afilu shar mason as well. this din of kvura halacha lamaisa, the din, the Gemara said the din only applies. There's a mitzvah to bury Mesa Yisrael. There is no mitzvah to bury Mesa Akum. Why not? So those Nachrim who cremate the bodies, okay, so I'm not mechuyev. If that's what they do, they cremate the body. But what happened to the absolute mitzvah of kvura? It's an absolute din, mechuyev to be mekaber the Mesa. So apparently we distinguish between Mesa Akum and Mesa Yisrael. We have a din. The Gemara Megillah draws a distinction. Abraisa Megillah draws a distinction between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. The Tashmishei Mitzvah on Nizrokim, after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, what do you do after Sukkot is up? What do you do with the leftover Esrog with the Hadassim and Arabis? The Gemara says you throw it in the garbage. Calls Ma Mitzvasa during Sukkot, it's hooked to the Mitzvasa. Or the Sukkot. The Sukkot is Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkot. The Gemara says Kishem Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga and the Korban Chagiga. That's why it's called Chag HaSukkos. Hukish to a Korban Chagiga. But if the Sukkos is over, what do you do? So most people save the Sukkah for next year. They don't want to throw it out. But if the fellow is moving away and there's no one to give the Sukkah to, nobody wants his all broken down Sukkah. So you throw it in the garbage. Tashmisha Mitzvah on his rocking. Aye, but it was Chal Shem Shemayim Ala Sukkah. So that's only Bizman Mitzvah. And after Bizman Mitzvah is up, you can throw it out. So Tzitzis, the Gemara says, Tzitzis is Tashmisha Mitzvah. If you have an old talus and no one wants to take it, you should give it to someone who doesn't have a talus. If you have an old talus that's yellow and it's worn out and it's torn and it's faded and everything, so if nobody wants it, say throw it in the garbage. Tashmisha mitzvah on Israel. Tashmisha kedusha on Nignosin. Even after, if you have a pair of tefillin or you have a mezuzah, say the Torah, that's possible, you can't even fix it. So the din is you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage, you have to put it in the shemus. So how do you determine what belongs under the category of Tashmisha Mitzvah, what falls under the category of Tashmisha Kedusha? Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, even though the Gemara doesn't explain the klal. So he claims that the klal is that whenever you have Divrei Torah, that constitutes Tashmisha Kedusha. So he said, if the Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah have the status of Tashmisha Kedusha, because the source of Kedusha is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Torah represents Elokus. The Torah represents the Ribbono Shel Olam. So on those few things, they say the Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, where you have Divrei Torah written, so that has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. And to the extent that it has Divrei Torah written, that's the extent that it has Kedusha. The Tefillin only has Shema V'Hayoyim Shamaya, so that has the lowest level of Kedusha. The Mezuzah only has Shema V'Hayoyim Shamaya, so it has the lowest level of Kedusha. The Tefillin, in addition to Shema V'Hayoyim Shamaya, also have Kadesh V'Hayoyim Kiriyachor. The tefillin have a slightly higher level of kedusha than the zuzim. And tefillin shel rosh have the shins in addition. So tefillin shel rosh has a slightly higher level of kedusha than the tefillin shel yad. And the Sefer Torah has the four parshias plus much more. So the Sefer Torah has more kedusha. And the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah sounds like he says, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam sounds like he says that if we would be able to discover the original luchos that the Ribbono Shel Olam engraved, and we would have a regular Sefer Torah that we just completed today. So the Sefer Torah would have more Kedusha than the Luchas, because the Sefer Torah has the Aseres HaDivis written plus more. So we determine what level of Kedusha you have based on how much Divrei Torah you have. So whenever you don't have Divrei Torah, so it's only Tashmishei Mitzvah. So the Tashmishei Mitzvah have Kedusha Bizman Mitzvah. So you learn it, the Ramban writes in a few places, you learn it after Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga, Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Zuki. Learn out from Sukkot to all Tashmishei Mitzvah. But after this Zman HaMitzvah is up, there's no more Kedusha. But if you have Divrei Torah, then it has the status of Tashmishei Kedusha. And even after this Zman HaMitzvah is up, you're not allowed to throw it out. So the Pashtus is that that's exactly the nature of Kedusha Sisra. That the Umas Olam were created, B'Tzelem Elokim, fine. And Kozman, they're alive, they're fulfilling mitzvahs, we hope. They're keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs been enough. So Kozman, they're alive, you have to treat them with dignity. They have a Tzelem Elokim and a Tashmishei Mitzvah. You have to show Kavod Abrius for the Nochrim. As soon as they die, so it's a Tashmishei Mitzvah, Lachas Ma Mitzvahsim. So strictly speaking, is Nizrokim. You can throw it out. If the Minig HaMokim is that they bury the Mason, okay? So you have to bury the Mason. You shouldn't Kavod Abrius, you bury the Mason. But if they cremate the Mason, then it's a Tashmishei Mitzvah, Lachas Ma Mitzvahsim. So you can do whatever you want. But if it's a Yisrael, so the Gemara has an Agarat in Maseches Nida, that the Malach, that's what the Tanya starts off with, that Agarat. The Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTarakula before he's born. So we don't know exactly whether that's to be taken literally or figuratively, whatever, but the idea behind it is that the Kedushas Yisrael is based, the Jewish body has a Kedushas Yisrael, based on the fact that there's Torah there. And even if the person during his lifetime never learned a word of Torah, and never kept any mitzvahs, he still has a Kedushas Yisrael because of the fact that the Malach taught him Kol HaTorah Kula before he was born. So that's why even after the person dies and he's no longer able to fulfill any mitzvahs, it's like a Tashmish mitzvah, lachas ma mitzvah son. But in addition to being a Tashmish mitzvah, he was at one time a Tashmish Kedusha. He had Kol HaTorah Kula on him. So that's like a Sefer Torah, shenifsal, that you're not allowed to throw it out. So that's the general din of Kavura stam, the din of Kavura for Jewish people. But then in the parsha we learn that there's a special din, you have to have a Kever Yisrael. You're not permitted to bury the Jews together with the Nochrim. In fact, the poskim say that you need a harchoke. Many have the practice that they have, the cemeteries are all near each other. So many have the practice, they have the Jewish mason buried over here, then they have a fence separating, a fence 10 foot from the door, then they have the Goyishim mason buried on the other side of the fence, and they bury up until the fence. So many Achrenim say that that's not proper, because the people are buried 6 feet under, they're buried under the ground, and the fence is on top of the ground, so the fence is not mafsik for below. And even if you dig a ditch and you make a fence below, and then you fill in all the offer, a fence below the ground is not a mechitza. It blends in with the ground. In order to be called a mechitza, you have to have avir on this side and avir on that side. A mechitza has to be makif a mokum, has to relate to a mokum of a davar tvochen. So if you have a fence below the ground and it's all filled in with offer, so that doesn't have the status of a mechitza. So many poskim are not happy with having mason buried up until the fence. Jews on one side, Nochem on the other side, but the fence has sort of above. So they say you have to have a harchoke of 8 amas separating between the Meisei Yaakov and the Meisei Yisrael. Because there is a din deraisa that Dalet Amas, Samach Lameis, is considered Fisus HaKever. That's a din deraisa. You have some din of the Rabbanim based on this as an extension of the din deraisa. But the din deraisa is that Dalet Amas around the Meis in all directions is considered the Fisus HaKever. Take for example, the original pasuk of Kvure is by Harugei Bezni. Kovetik Berena by Yomahu, the killers of the Kimtola. So the Gemara learns that also from Kovetik Berena, the Kefaloshan, that not only do you bury the maize, you have to bury the Suda Shenechnat Bo and the Sayyiv Shenerak Bo. You have to bury the instrument that the Bezni used to administer the Mises Bezni. So the Gemara says, Nigborim Imo, you bury it with them. The Gemara says, Imo? What do you mean? You bury it in the coffin together with the maize? The Gemara says, no. Imo bitvisosa. You have to bury it toch Dalet Amas to the maize. You don't bury it with the maize. That's a bizayin maize. But the halacha says you have to bury it with toch tfusas maize. So the pashtus is that the concept of tfusas maize is a din deraisa. We have a din derabbanan that's called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun, that's patterned after the din deraisa. The chacham made a din derabbanan that's on the last daf of Masechah Soito. Made a din derabbanan that if you come within Dalet Amas of a maize, it's already mitame. Let's say they're taking a maize from the funeral chapel and taking the maize to the cemetery. So they're taking the oren in the street, though the oren is in a hearse. So a kohen is not allowed to come within Dalet Amas sideways, within Dalet Amas of the oren, because the oren is metami, the whole tfusas hameis. So that's only with the rabbanon. But the concept that the Dalet Amas saviv la kever, after someone is buried in the ground, Dalet Amas saviv la kever has the status of tfusas hakever, that is a din deraisa. So that's what the... A lot of Achrenim say that you have to have Archoke. All the Achrenim say like that. You have to have Archoke of Chesam is between the Meisei Yisrael and Meisei Yaakov. You shouldn't even have interlocking pieces that can. You have to demonstrate that even though we were born in America, we were educated in America, we made all of our money in America, we lived in America, we died in America, but we're a Gerva Teshuv, that we don't really blend in with the rest of the society. We can't be buried. We really didn't lead the same life as everybody else. Even though we were living here and everything was the same, we really didn't lead the same life. So to demonstrate that Allah requires, we have to be buried separately. To show that not only is our life a different life, even Lachamisa is also, everything is different.
What would disqualify someone from being a Jew, from being buried in a Jewish cemetery?
If a person is a Meshumad, the Gemara says you're not allowed to bury a Tzadik Eitzel Rosha. The Gemara says not only Rosha, Merusha, Meshumad, and Apikurus, and Atheist, whatever. Even the Gemara says if one person did 100 Averis, another one did 101 Averis, the Gemara says you're not allowed to bury the two next to each other. No one's keeping count. Who knows who did how many averus? No one's keeping count. So we usually assume that all the people from the same group did the same, approximately the same number of averus. So YU has their own cemetery, plot in Eretz Yisrael. The Aguda has their own cemetery, plot in Tirikarta has their own cemetery. Mizrahi has their own. Everybody assumes that whoever belongs to that group does more or less the same number of averus. No one is a Noki, no one is a Tzari Goma, that they don't do any averus. Everybody does. Some people even talk about Shemar. Everybody does some Avera or another. So the din is, you're not allowed to bury Tzadik next door to Rosh. Even B'di'evit, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk in Novachim. Even B'di'evit, if you bury the Tzadik next door to Rosh, you have to take somebody out and bury him somewhere else. Pasuk says that by mistake, you bury the Elisha HaNavi next door to Rosh. So the Rosh had a Tchias HaMeisim. The other guy, the Rosh was buried there first. Then by mistake, they buried Elisha next to him. So the Pasuk says the Rosh had a Tchias HaMeisim, he walked away and he dropped dead, and then they buried him somewhere else. Because even B'di'evit, the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, you're not allowed to leave it the way it is. Even B'di'evit, if a Jew is buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, you're not allowed to leave it like that. But if you can do something about it. I remember there was a man who was telling me he's working very hard for Manhattan. He's working very hard to get his brother, can I help him? He was from Hungary, they came after the revolution, and his brother died there, and he's buried in the Goyish cemetery. He tells me 1 month after that, I see him every month. He's telling me he's working hard, he's contacting this one. Then finally he tells me the punchline. He didn't tell me. His brother had married a non-Jewish woman. So the non-Jewish woman doesn't want him buried in a Jewish cemetery. He was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. When she dies, she wants to be buried next to him. So stand on your head. What can you do? So he didn't want to tell me that. He's heartbroken that his brother married. There was no Jewish education. It's the nest that he is religious. He says his brother didn't have the nest. So his brother married a non-Jewish woman. So that normally the din is you're not permitted to bury a Jew in a non-Jewish cemetery. Need midiyevit, you have to take out the Jew and bury him somewhere else. So these are real dinim deraisa, the chi of kvure by kol ha-meisim and kevi Yisrael. The Medrash learns that in that pasuk that there's a din of kvura, yeah. But in halacha it says that there's no chi of kvura by Meisei Yaakov, only by Meisei Yisrael. If that's mekubal, and the minhag hamdin is that they bury, they don't cremate, so then we should treat, the Gemara says, kovrim Meisei Akum etnei darkei shalom. We participate in the kvura. Because we have to be nice to the Nachum also. But Bikur Adin, if they're mevater, if they're moichel and if they're not makbid on it, so we don't have to be makbidis. If their meaning is that they cremate the mason, so we can go along with them on the mason, yeah, not on the mason itself.
Now, if suicide is really ready for?
Pardon me?
Suicide.
Yeah, the Gemara says that amabed atzma ladas is a serious aver. So many of the poskim distinguish between amabed atzma ladas and amabed atzma shalol ladas. Most of the people who commit suicide do it because they're disturbed, because they're depressed. Ma'amar Atzma said, Achrenim say Ma'amar Atzma Ladas means like the French philosophers after the Second World War, the existentialists, that they were committing suicide because they felt that life is not worth living. A whole shita. So that's not because, what do you mean life is not worth living? God created us and God put us in the world. So of course life is worth living. So that's called Ma'amar Atzma Ladas with a shita. But the people that we know who commit suicide, that's what the Achrenim called, that's Ma'amar Atzma Shalol Ladas. Shalom Adas, that's Nebuch, they were sick. They didn't know what they were doing. That's when again, you're not allowed to bury one who committed suicide, not allowed to bury him together with everybody else, because that's a serious aver. But if he was Ma'abed Atzma Shalom Adas, it's like a Itim Cholim, Itim Shaita, a temporary fit of insanity.
Could we say that the reason that Avram needed to bury Sarah was similar to Medrash was saying about Adam Rishon, and what we know about Medrash and Yaakov, says to Yosef, don't bury me here, because they went to make the bones or the dead body into a deity, and they went to Avodah Zarah.
So what did it help? They can make her into Avodah Zarah even if she's buried in Mar Samach Bera.
And Adam Rishon's also there.
I don't know.
But that
they can make him into Avodah Zarah too? How's it going to help? Yaakov Avinu didn't want to be buried in Egypt. Buried me far away. These people here are terrible of the Avodah Zarah. He wasn't afraid in Eretz Yisrael. I guess people already forgot who he was in Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to make him into a deity. But in Mitzrayim, he was afraid they'd make him into a deity. But here, it's not going to help if they bury her here. They can still make her into a deity. And the Torah tells the whole story the way Avram Avinu negotiates a shidduch for his son Yitzchak, and he insists, he sends Eliezer Eved Avram to go to his family. What's wrong? The people there, and where he came from, were all of the Avodah Zarah. The people here, he had Avram Agayeres Anoshim, Misorim Agayeres Anoshim. He had a lot of converts. He had a lot of followers. Why didn't he pick a nice girl from the Balei Tshuva to marry his son? So that's what the Drosh HaSaran has a whole essay about. So he gives his famous explanation. That Avraham Avinu recognized that all of his Balei Tshuva were rough, they had rough midas. So find the hashkafas were good. You find a lot of times Balei Tshuva very rough people. They keep the mitzvahs, but a lot of times they're very rough. So Avraham Avinu felt that the main thing in a shidduch is that you have to have a kind person. So he knew that the members of his family, where he came from, despite the fact that they were of the Avodah Zarah, their hashkafas were awful, but they had fine meekness. So that's why he insisted that he wants a shidduch from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, who are fine people, to get a girl who's not going to worship Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the religious people here who didn't have fine meekness. That's what you have to look for in marriage. It's very important. You have to look for a person who's fine in meekness. If you have a meshugana, so you're going to suffer for the rest of your life. All kinds of Meshugoyim in this world. The other day somebody came to me, not from our yeshiva, and he was crying. He's married for 6.5 years. His wife is expecting the third child. He says he's going to have to get divorced. So when he got married, you see, they say you're not marrying the parents, you're marrying the girl.
Is that true?
Part of it is true, and part of it is not true. If I fall in love with the parents, wonderful people, and I don't pay attention to the girls, so that's not right. You're not marrying the parents. My mother, I used to tell my mother, I like this girl's father. So my mother used to say, the father's married already. Forget about the father. Pay attention to the girl. You shouldn't marry a girl just because the parents are wonderful people. You have to make sure that the girl is a nice girl. But it's not true that you're not marrying the parents. The girl is going to act the same way that she was brought up in her home. This fellow married a girl. He didn't pay attention when he was taking out the girl. He paid attention to the parents. He wasn't paying attention to the girl. He didn't realize the girl was Mama Shama Sugar. Now he's going to have to get divorced. Yeah, it's big problems. You have to make sure. The main thing is you have to marry a person who's easygoing. You've got to marry a tough person. Life is going to be miserable. That's what Eliezer, Eved Avram, is. Avram Avinu sends him to his family. He knows that they're fine Bali Midas. He should pick a girl who's a Balas Midas. And that's how he tests her out, to see if she's kind, if she's going to feed the animals, if she's going to feed him, and so on.
Based on
Avram,
what would you think if there were 5 years
now?
She was the
animal. I don't know. That's a good question. But that's what the Ran in his drushes thinks that that's the pshat over here. A lot of times people don't listen to the parents' advice when it comes to getting married. They say, my parents are married already. Same thing. My parents are married. What do they know about what I need? So a lot of times the children are more intelligent than the parents. You see, I belong to the parents' union now. A lot of times the children are more intelligent than the parents, but the parents have much more life's experience. So the parents, without being able to put their finger on why, a lot of times they can say, this is a miserable shidduch. This is terrible. Don't marry the girl. A lot of times the young children can't see what's wrong with it. They're just, they want to get married. So they grab the first person who's around. So you have in the parsha that Avraham Avinu has input in the shidduch of his son. And Hogah marries off her son Yishmael. We had him last week, said, should listen to your parents. It says in Shulchan Aruch, strictly speaking, it says, whole siman reish mem, and you're dead, adinam of kibud aviyeh. So the last sif, the Ramah says the kibud aviyeh doesn't apply when it comes to a shidduch. If I have my heart set on marrying this girl and my parents are opposed, so there's no din of kibud aviyeh. And the Vilna Gaon quotes this, the Ramah is quoting from the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Vilna Gaon quotes the three reasons that the Trumas Hadeshen gives. Each reason independently would be sufficient to explain why there's no din of kibud av. So firstly, kibud av is only to give service to the parents. What is it? The parents are going to tell me what I should do for a living, whom I should marry. where I should, they want me to go to this school and I should become a doctor or a lawyer, an engineer, whatever. But the parents have no right to. Kibbutz Abiyam doesn't mean they make all the decisions for me. I have to make my own decisions in life. So that's number one. That's not included in Kibbutz Abiyam. Then number two, Kibbutz Abiyam doesn't apply whenever it's in conflict with a mitzvah. The son wants to marry the girl, and the parents are opposed. So what the son, if he's going to listen to the parents, he's not going to marry this girl, he's going to marry the other girl. It's going to take him another half a year until he meets another girl, until he develops a relationship. It's going to take him a long time. So since he's prepared to do a mitzvah of getting married, so he shouldn't listen to the parents. And he quote, the third reason, that kibbutz is mishalav, alo mishal bein. Let's say my father tells me he'd like to go visit Eretz Yisrael. So I said, okay, give me your credit card and I'll be happy to make all the arrangements. He says, no, kibbutz aviyam. You pay for the trip. So the Gemara says, if my father has money, there's no din of kibbutz av that I have to spend the money. Kibbutz av is mishalav, alo mishal bein. The son is not mechuyav to spend money on the kibbutz av. If the father has money, he's supposed to spend his own money on the kibbutz av. The son has to take off from work. Let's say my father needs some help. So I'm mechuyav to take off from work even though they're going to dock me for my pay. But it's not that I'm taking out money from my pocket. Until it becomes unreasonable. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon quotes this from the Trumas Hadesh, and if the din is a kibbutz av is mishalav, ilo mishal bein, if the son is not mechuyav to spend money on the kibbutz av, so he's certainly not mechuyav to suffer a heartbreak. He has his heart set, he fell in love with this girl, he wants to marry this girl. Then the parents are going to break my heart, they tell me I shouldn't marry this girl, I should marry someone else. I don't want to marry that girl. So that's a b'chin of kibbutz av mishalav, ilo mishal bein. So it's true that all the three reasons are correct, and Vikar Adin Kibbutz Av doesn't apply when it comes to a Shiloh. But very often, it'll be a disaster. The son is right, the child is right, he doesn't have to listen to the parents. But he'll have a miserable marriage later on, because very often the parents can tell without formulating it in a full sentence what's wrong with the Shiloh. They can tell intuitively that it's not a good idea. That's from life's experience, they can tell who's for their son. A lot of times the parents don't know the nature of their children. A lot of times, let's say, if the child is more observant than the parents, more religious than the parents, and the parents don't fully appreciate what he's looking for, what kind of a girl he needs, so they would recommend a different kind of a girl. So then it doesn't make sense to listen to the parents. But usually the parents do have, often have a better understanding of the nature of the child than the child himself has. The Sefer Hasidim has a comment on the Pasuk in the Parsha. When Eliezer comes to the family of the girl and he presents the whole deal, the whole story, the whole shidduch, so he says, tell me whether you agree or not, and if you don't agree, the efna al yamin o al smol. You say no is no, and I'll go look elsewhere for a shidduch. So the Sefer Hasidim writes that a lot of boys have an attitude that if the girl says no, they keep on chasing after the girl, keep on harassing the girl. He said, that's not right. The pasuk says no is no. If they say no, so you go try to find a different shidduch. A lot of times the boy keeps on chasing after the girl. The girl's not interested, keeps on chasing. Then when she finally marries him, he's for the rest of his life is going to be kofuf to the girl because she didn't want to marry him in the first place. She did him a favor. He was chasing after her. So he was dealing down and begging that she should marry him. So he always has to be kofuf to her. So that's not a smart thing. The Gemara always recommends that the nechoz dargav and nesivitzu, you should always marry a girl who's slightly lower level of society so she'll respect the husband. Marry the chief rabbi's daughter, so she's only going to respect her father. She's not going to respect you. Unfortunately, there were big Talmid HaChachamim who married girls whose fathers were big Talmid HaChachamim who didn't respect their husbands. They thought the last Talmid HaChacham was their father. So they suffered from that their wives didn't think highly of them. The Gemara says you should always marry someone who's going to respect the husband. The husband has to show respect for their wife also. Okay. It's a reciprocal. All of the marital obligations are reciprocal. The Gemara says, "Tikna zeh tachas zeh." Everything is a zeh tachas zeh. And the baal is mechuyev to be mechabed the wife. Baal mechuyev oyves ishti kegufa mechabed the yosim kegufa. He's mechuyev to be mechabed his wife more than he would be interested in his own kovet. If he only has so much money, so he should see to it that his wife gets an extra dress and his wife gets an extra pair of shoes and an extra pocketbook, whatever. And the wife has a chiv to be mechabed the husband. Okay, each one has a chiv to be mechabed each other. But that's what the Gemara recommends. One should always try to marry a girl who will look up to the husband, who will respect the husband. When Eliezer presents the whole deal to the girl's family, so the girl's family, he says excitedly, "May Hashem yatzah hadavar." So the Gemara understands in this pasuk that all of this zivugim amin hashamayim. One could have thought maybe the others, maybe Avram Yitzchak and Yankov, but the others of Klal Yisrael, maybe these zivugim amin hashamayim. Gemara says now that all zivugim amin hashamayim. The Rambam writes in his Shmoneh Prokim, the introduction of the Rambam to Pirkei Avos, this commentary on Pirkei Avos called, doesn't have, for lack of a better name, it has 8 short chapters, so it's known as Shmoneh Prokim Laharam, the Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos. He writes in his Shmoneh Prokim that Zivugim anat min hashamayim, that the Pasuk says in Eicha, Mipiel yonaseitze haroas v'atoiv, the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't cause people to do averes and doesn't cause people to do mitzvahs. So depending on whom you marry, that'll determine what type of a person you'll be. The Gemara says that there was a ma'aseh b'chassid echad. He married a girl who was a marshas, so she pulled him down and became a rasha. And then there was a tzaddikus who married a rasha and she made him into a tzaddik. So very often the wife has a tremendous hashpo on the husband. To make the husband into a tzaddik, make the husband into a rasha. The wife is in charge of all the food in the kitchen. So she's going to give non-kosher food. The wife has to go to mikveh. She's not going to go to mikveh. So what's the husband going to do?
It's grounds for divorce.
Okay. But most people are not interested in getting divorced. Most people will suffer all the while. Give into whatever their wife wants to. That's what the Rambam says. If it's going to be min hashamayim that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to give me a shidduch with this big tzaddikus, she's going to have an influence on me. I should become a tzaddik. I'm going to marry this mashas. She's going to have a negative influence on me. So it comes out that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is causing me to be a tzaddik or a rasha. And that says in the pasuk, the piel yom lo seitzah ruas v'atar. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to make a gzeira on the person. The Gemara says min hashamayim they determine whether the baby is going to be a chacham atipesh, osher v'yoni. But the tzaddik v'rasha lo koma. They don't decide min hashamayim whether that's what b'chira chavshis is all about. Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyura shamayim. Means all other things, what color eyes I have and whether I'm going to be tall or short or fat or thin, you know, tendencies. That's b'dei shamayim chutz miyura shamayim. B'chira chavshis to determine whether you want to do mitzvahs or averes. That's not a gzera min hashamayim. Tzaddik v'rasha lo koma. But that's what the Rambam writes, that zivugim can't be min hashamayim. It's up to the person himself to decide whom he's going to marry. This is going to be for the rest of his life. Either it's going to be l'tova or going to be l'ra. So Rav Yankov Endin has a comment. They printed on the bottom of the regular editions of the Gemara. These editions, they have it. So on the bottom of the page of the Shemayna Prophet, they printed Rav Yankov Endin said, how can the Rambam say that it's against the Gemara? The Gemara said that zivugim are min hashamayim. So if you look in the Me'iri, the first daf in Soita, he comments on the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Zivik Rishim is min hashamayim, and the Zivik Sheni is not min hashamayim. So we usually assume Zivik Rishim means the first time that people get married. Zivik Sheni means if they got married and they got divorced, and the second time around, that's not min hashamayim. So the Me'iri understands differently. The Me'iri says that Zivik Rishim means when the children are getting married at a very young age. The boy is just barely bar mitzvah, the girl is a little girl. So that's min hashamayim. How can you say lefi ma'isav? No one knows what's gonna be. But by us, we're all holding by zivik sheni. A boy gets married. He's not 13 years old. The boy's already 20 some odd years old. The girl is already 18, 19, 17, whatever. So the Miri says everything is zivik sheni. Everything by us is zivik sheni. So apparently that's what the Rambam thinks. The Rambam is talking about, Rambam got married later in life. Later than 20, he got married up in his 30s or his 40s or something. So apparently where he came from by the Sfarim, they were getting married very late in life. So everybody was getting married Zivik Sheni. There was no Zivik Rishon. So that's what the Rama means, that it's not min hashamayim. Shouldn't just close your eyes and propose to the girl and think that it's going to be min hashamayim. You have to be choshish for this Rama. It's not going to be min hashamayim. You have to make sure that the girl is for you. Before you decide whether the girl is for you, you have to decide whom you are. You have to decide who are you and what do you want to become. And then you have to decide what kind of a girl you want in accordance to who you are. The pasuk says, Vayvachu es Rivka, Vayomer lach, Hoseinu ata yili alfi ravava. She's about to leave. So they gave her a bracha, that she should have a lot of babies. Ata yili alfi ravava. She should have 10,000 babies. Descendants. She should have a lot of descendants. says in Shulchan Aruch, when the chassan goes to do the badekin, so the rabbanim are supposed to recite that pasuk in similar pesukim. Achaseinu atayir the alfer rabba to give other brachas to the kala before, right at the time of the badekin. So Tosis in the beginning of Ksubas quotes from a Medrash Pirkei Rav Lozer, by Rochas Rivka, Yomer Lachaseinu atayir the alfer rabba. These are two different things. By Rochas Rivka means that they recited Birchas Erisin. And the Bayom Achaseinu atayir the alfer rabba, that was a bracha to her. By Rochas Rivka means that they blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conjunction with the marriage. That Eliezer was a shliach l'kiddushin, they accomplished kiddushin like they shliach, and even then you say a birchas erusin. You shouldn't think that you only recite birchas erusin when the chosan is mekadosh the isha in person. Even if the kiddushin is done like they shliach, you still recite the bracha. That's taka the din. The shliach is not fulfilling any mitzvah. The chosan and kala, Yitzchak is fulfilling the mitzvah of getting married. Let's say I don't feel well and I need mezuzahs on the door, so I ask someone else to hang up the mezuzahs. So it's my mitzvah mezuzah. You're kind enough to put up the mezuzah, you did a mitzvah of Milos Chasol. But you say the bracha, when you nail on the mezuzah, you say the bracha of the Kvoya mezuzah. Even though you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah mezuzah, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Milos Chesed, and there is no bracha on the mitzvah of Milos Chesed. But since you're doing the Maisa HaMitzvah of Kviyas HaMezuzah, you recite the bracha. So the same over here. When a shaliach is mikadosh and isha for the chosan, so the chosan and the kala for the chosan is in fulfillment of the mitzvah. But the shaliach says the bracha because bottom line he's performing the Maisa HaMitzvah. By Bracha Esrivka, that's how the Medrash interprets. By Bracha Esrivka, they recited Birchas Erisin in conjunction with Rivka. Not that they blessed Rivka. By Yomar Lo Achaseinu Atayir Li Alfer Rabba, that was a bracha to Rivka. Here it's a very strange medrash. The Gemara makes a statement that all the tefillahs and the brachas and kiddush and abdol, everything was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So the Gemara makes that statement. So what do you mean over here by Rocha Esrivka that they already said Birchas Erisin? This was centuries before, 1,000 years before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Gemara knows the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah composed all the brachas. So what do they force a pshat over here? And similarly, you have a drosha of the Tanoim that appears in the Mishnayos and Masechet Maaseh Sheni. When you recite Vidui Maaseh on Erev Pesach of the fourth year and Erev Pesach of the Shemitah year, so the farmers have to give everything away, Truman, the Maaseh Rishon, the Maaseh Sheni, and everything, and then they have to recite Biyati HaKodesh Manabai, Zagam Nesati Vlalevi, etc. And they say Le'avartem Mitzvei Secha V'lo Shachachti. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in the end of Masechet Maaseh Sheni, what does it mean V'lo Shachachti? Lo shachachti melahaskir nilvarechecha. Lo shachachti melahaskir shimcha malchuscha. He didn't forget to recite the bracha at the time of Hafrosha's Trumas Amaisa. So it's a pella. The Meforshim asks, Rashi and Chumash quotes that Mishnah from Asechas Maaseh Sheni. Mishnah is interpreting a pasuk like that. What do you mean? Because Ma Matan Torah, there were no brachas. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were the ones who composed all the brachas. So how do they give such an interpretation? Lo shachachti melvarechecha. Didn't forget to recite the bracha in connection with the Afroshas Maisers. The same thing, there's a pasuk in the Sefer Shmuel. That when Shaul lost the Asoinas Asher Yoviv and he's looking for them, so he met the girls, and he asked the girls, where is the Navi? He wants to know where's the Navi. He's going to ask the Navi where to find his Asoinas. So they tell him that the Navi is going to go over there, and they're going to bring karbanos. Who yibareches hazeva? Shmuel Anabi is going to recite the brachas. He eats the karban shlomi. So what brachas is he saying? The pasuk says who yibarech hazeva. What brachas is going to say? Shachal niyav b'dvara. Probably means the brachas hamitzvah in connection with eating karbanos. Hakrovas hakarbanos. Were they really brachas then? That's what it says. Yibareches hazeva. Sounds like there were brachas before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. That's not time the Tanoim are making up stories. It says in the Navi like that, Sefer Shmuel, that people were saying brachas. So the Mishkan is Yankiv, and the Sefer on brachas, and the Sefer Kehelas Yankiv makes such a suggestion. He says maybe there were always brachas, maybe that was the minig. They always recited brachas in connection with Inyoni Kedusha. So it says, Afrasha's Truma, the Truma has Kedusha, Maaseh Sheni has Kedusha. So maybe those were always carried brachas with them. Riyabarchas HaZevach doesn't mean Shahakam Liyabidvara, the Birchas HaNen. It maybe means the Birchas HaMitzvah in conjunction with either Hakrovas HaKarbonis or Achilas HaShlomi.
That's last Mishnah of Pesachim, Erech HaZach Patras
HaZevach. That there is a bracha, it's unclear from the Mishnah whether it goes on the bracha of Achilas HaZevach or the bracha that's recited when when the Kohanim did the Hakrobas HaKarbonis, the Rashbam learns that it goes on the Baruchah of Achilos HaZevach, Achilos HaKesel. And Achroinim suggest on that doubt, maybe it goes on the Baruchah of the Shas HaVeidah. Yes, on the Mishnayis were written after that, Sheikh Nes HaGadol already instituted all the Baruchas. So the Mishnayis is not a Chiddush that such Baruchas existed. But here the Mishkan of Yankim suggests that maybe that's the Pshat in the Pasuk, Li Baruchas HaZevach, that there always, the practice was that they did recite Baruchas in connection with in Yoni Kiddusha. So that's what he suggests. Maybe there always was a Birchas Erisin, because the Gemara says that when one gets married, there is an Inyan of Kiddusha. The Gemara says, Hareya Mekudeshes Li, that's a Lishna Derabbanan. That's not a biblical expression. A biblical expression would be Hareya Ishti, Hareya Arisos, Hareya Kinuyali, Hareya Charufasi, Ezrasi, Negdosi, Tzalasi, a whole bunch of other expressions. But Hareya Mekudeshes, the Gemara says, is a Lishna Derabbanan. It's a rabbinical expression. So a lot of Achrayim say the Lishna is a Lishna Derabbanan, but the concept is a concept derais. That in marriage there is an element of Kiddusha. That's how the Gemara says in Saita. Gemara says, Ish v'isha shchina shruya b'nein. If they act properly, because people get married because they have a physical desire for the girl. So that's an Ish. The word Ish and the word Isha both contain the word Ish, Aleph Shin. So the Gemara says, if they act in a proper fashion, so the Ish has a Yud and the Isha has a He, and you have Yud He, is the Shechina. So the Shechina will be Shruya B'nei. If they don't act in a proper fashion, then they're not going to have the Shechina there. Then it's just going to be Ish. It's just going to be their burning desire for each other. As we call it in English, a burning desire is going to be Ish. And they consume them. The marriage may not necessarily turn out to be too good. So the Gemara assumes that there is a concept of Kiddusha in a Jewish marriage. The Avnei Nezer has in the end of Chelek Avnei Nezer Chidushim on the Mesichtes of Seder Noshim. So he writes as one of the Chidushim in the Parshas Nosoi, when the Chumash writes about the Soto, so if the woman was not faithful to her husband, so the expression used by the Pasuk is V'nitma'ah. V'nitma'ah means that Eishas Isha Zinso is called V'nitma'ah. So he raised the question, why such a funny expression? So the Torah Shebaal Peh has a tradition in connection with that V'nitma'ah, that just like a suffix Saita, you go to Chumash, she's Asur Labayla. A Saita is a Badai Saita means we know for sure that she was an Eishas Isha Zinso. You caught her in the middle of the act. And Saita Safik is described by the Torah, Kinyan Stira. So just like by a Saita Safik you go to Chumar, so too by Safik Tuma Bishu Sayyabi, you also go to Chumar. So the Chachamim derived this from the fact that the Chumash uses the expression Vinitmo. So it's a remez to that case, that not only Safik Saita Lechumar, even Safik Tuma Bishu Sayyabi is also Lechumar. But why does it, how does it, so that's the remez. That's a remez to that halacha. But why does the word benitmo make sense? How do you use such a word? What does it mean over here? So the Avnei Nezer quotes from the Kuzari. The Melech, the way the Rabbi Yehuda Levi wrote the Kuzari, the Melech is asking the Chover, the Rabbi, all about the Jewish religion. He wants to find out more and more details about Judaism. So he's answering, he's telling him, Aregalachas, but not Aregalachas, many sessions. A whole Sefer work. A whole Sefer's work. So the Melech HaKuzarim wants to know, you people are Orthodox Jews, so how come you don't observe what it says in the Bible? It says in the Chumash, whenever you touch a dead mouse, you have to go to the mikveh. Whenever a person is Tomei, a Zav, a Zava, a Balkari, a person has to go to the mikveh. No one's going to mikveh. How come nobody's going to mikveh? So the Chover answers back, the Rabbi answers back. We used to have Korbanos, we used to have a Beis HaMikdash, we used to eat Truma, we used to eat Maisa Sheni. Tumah is a tarta de sasri with a yoni kiddusha. So if a person is tummy, he has to go to the mikveh if he's interested in entering Beis HaMikdash, he's interested in bringing karbanos, eating ma'aser sheni, akrovas karbanos and so on. But we live so far away from the Beis HaMikdash. No Beis HaMikdash, there's no Yerushalayim, there's no ma'aser sheni, there's no truma, there's no karbanos, there's nothing. So the whole story of the mikveh is irrelevant. So then the Melech asks, how come the wives go to mikveh? Why do the women go to mikveh? So he says, no, that's Taras HaMashpacha, that has nothing to do with Tumah V'Taras. So the Avnei Nezer in his tshuva quotes from that section from the Kuzari that the whole union of Tumah always poses a tie to the Sasri to Inyoni Kiddusha. So he says over here, that's the pshat in the pasuk. V'nitmo means that every Jewish marriage has an element of Kiddusha in it. The lishna is a lishna the rabbanim. We say hariat mukudeshesli, but the concept is a concept that raisa. That's why there was a brach even koydim atentari, even 1,000 years before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the nusach that we recite, the Birchas Harisen. They always used to say Birchas Harisen by Baruches Rivka. The Medrash claims the practice was they said Birchas Harisen even koydim atentari, because they felt that there is an element of kedusha in the marriage. You see, from the Gemara in the first parak in kedusha, Gemara is like that. Gemara says, why don't you say, if a man says, Harei chetzich mekudeshesli, karash chatzisha zeni mekudeshes. Gemara asks the kasha, why don't you say, Pashta kedusha bekula? Pashta kedusha bekula is a din that has to do with karbonis. With kedusha is karbonis. How does the Gemara think a havamina that it should apply over here? So that's what, and Taisa says, that the only time there would be a havamina to say, Pashta kedusha bekula, Taisa says there in kedushin, is if he says, Hariat mekudeshes. If he says, Hariat ishti, there wouldn't be a havamina. Because if you say Ariyam Kudeshes, then you're creating the Kiddushin through an act of Hakdosha. So an act of Hakdosha, we should apply first the Kiddusha Bikum. So you see that there is something to it. Lishnas are Lishna de Rabbanon, but the concept, what's taking effect, is a concept there, I see.
Really, I would also say that there is, in Trumos and the Eperek, we have the same. It says, the chin Nashim Shamu Lahim Goin. That both in the case of truma and with noshim, that we use the word temli achas nehem batama or tu achas nehem batama, that it's both used
to defile them.
Defile.
Right.
Is that so? Is this mirroring the lashon of the
plural? Yeah. When a woman is nivela la'akum, so she's asur la'kuna. So you see that there is something there. She's going to be nivelas to the nachri. She's going to be v'nitma. In a certain sense, going to be v'nitma. The Medrash tells us, commenting on the pasuk in Parsha Shlach, it says that v'yavo at Hebron, that Kole ben Yifune was one of the 12 Meraglim. So he went to Hebron. Why did he go to Hebron? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash when they got it in Masech HaSoito, they went to Hebron to be mispalol by the Moras HaMachpel. So apparently the Moras HaMachpel Al Pidin has the status of a Mokum Tefillah. Mokum Mekom is Kibriyat Tzadikim, is considered a Mokum Mesugal for Tefillahs. That's the Gemara in Tainus, that on a Tainus Sibur, they would go to the cemetery. So the Gemara says, why do you go to the cemetery? So the Gemara says, Mokum, if you have Tzadikim buried in the cemetery, so it's a good place to be mispalol. Not a lot of daven toch dal ramas to the kever, but near the kever, chutz to the dal ramas from the kever. I think Morris says the second reason, even if you don't have kibbutz adikim nearby, you should go, even if there's only a goyisha cemetery, it's also kedai, go to a goyisha cemetery to make yourself a little bit depressed. We don't want to make everybody depressed, you should go, have to go seek help from a psychologist. But to be a little bit. To realize that we're all going to die, we shouldn't be such kanakas, we shouldn't sin so much. We should realize that's called out of Mamas. Like Gemara says, second best is that if there's no Jewish cemetery that has Kiryat Tzadikim, that it should be a Mokum Mesugal Tefillah. At least they should go on the Tainus Sibur, they should go to Mokum Pesach Forest of Nachri to be
mispalel.
Rabbi,
what's the meaning of Mishtateach al Kiryat Tzadikim? What's that idea?
To be mispalach? I don't think you're mispalach on the Kibbutz Tzadikim. Some people do that on the Kever Harizal in Sfat. They lay down on the Matzeh and Mamish and they daven. So the Pashta says that's against the halacha. Not allowed to daven toch the halacha to a Kever. Certainly not on top of the Kever. So you have to go to some other location nearby. You daven from the path. That's chutz of the halacha, from all the kvar. Today also, let's say, when they bury someone, so they say, Kaddish, after they bury them. So you shouldn't say the Kaddish right next to the Kevah. You have to walk away Dalai Lama from the Kevah. Exactly what does it mean? Kvura b'karka. How far down do you have to bury the mace? 6 feet under. Exactly how far down. So Moshe has a tshuva where he claims that the Ikar HaDin is sufficient if you have 3 tefachim of offer on top of the mace. He proves it from the din in Shulchan Aruch that if you want to bury one mace on top of another mace, the world is getting all the cemeteries are getting all filled up. People are dying who never died before. And there's no room to bury everybody, so you have to bury people on top of each other. And the Gemara says you're not supposed to bury 2 people in the same cavern. You have to bury each person separately. So we'll say separately. So the Gemara says, if you have a mace buried over here, and you want to have an upper layer of masons, so you have to have 6 tfachim of offer, and then you put the next mace on top, then 6 tfachim of offer, then you put the next mace on top of that. So Rav Moshe understands what it means is that each mace has to have 3 tfachim above and 3 tfachim below. And 3 tfachim, you have to have 6 tfachim in between one mace and another sideways, on top and sideways. So he says, obviously, 3 tfachim is the shear of Kfura Bekarka. The Imam Sochim talks about the chametz, shenaf lo'ol of Mapolis, the chametz that's buried under 3 tfachim of offer, you can leave it where it is. That's harehu kimavur. So that's like over here, the same shear, 3 tfachim.
Why is there
not a din of dalam? We assume that there is no din of dalam. Mace is taka 6 feet under, more than 6 feet under, and we don't consider that the harchoke. We have to have harchoke sideways. I don't know. It's a good question. Why don't we consider that the harchoke of dalam? They used to bury in caves. The days of the Tanaim used to have man-made caves that they buried in. So if you have a cave that's made from offer, so that is for the karka. But a lot of the mausoleums, they're different kinds of mausoleums. Some of them are considered for the karka. Moshe's tshuva was about the mausoleums, which is not for the karka. If they bury, for the karka would be, if you have offer or you have metal, strictly speaking, metal is also karka or cement or something. So that's considered for the karka. And a lot of these mausoleums, they just have vaults where they put the body. So a lot of them will not be for the karka. Some of them will be.
So the last one, they put the caves above the ground?
Yeah, caves above the ground. Men made caves above the ground, but they made it with offer. So that's also for the karka.
That is the Rikhuk Daladamos for Tkila related to the Rikhuk of Harbamos from the Keter. For saying brachos for tefila, so also for the kever. You're talking about a body that's decomposing.
I don't think that's why. No, the marchik daven amos to say the veter because loig larosh cherif oisem, because the mace is not able to daven. So if we'll daven tach daven amos, that will constitute a bizayin amos. It's as if we're making fun of them. I don't think it's because the mace is decomposing. That's another thing. After the mace decomposed already and it smells awful, then it's being kitzoya. That's another thing. Any rotten, let's say you have some food that rotted and it smells awful. That's also like a key or tzoa, that you're not allowed to say a bracha or tefillah near that. But the mace, even before it decomposes, also, you have to be marked. Because of like the rush, it's a different reason.
So then where is one supposed to be this follow? Kibre Tzidikim or Mesuko for the Tzvila, which would be outside of the basic powers?
Yeah, on the pier, I hope so.
You're saying Tehillim? You say Tehillim inside the basic powers? Is that also Loi Gloros?
Also not right. It's supposed to say all the Tehillim, Dalar Amos away from everything, from all the Mason. The Gemara Shavuos points out that when Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer on this mission, he made him swear. As B'yachab Elakea Shemayim. Etc. And then he says, Rakas b'ni lo sashiv sham. He shouldn't bring my son back over there. So he made him swear. He says, Simna yotcha tachas irechi. Avraham Avinu only had the one mitzvah of bris milah. So he had Eliezer hold on to his leg. Didn't hold on to the bris milah. Held on to his leg. So that's considered as if he was holding on to the bris milah. That constitutes a more serious shvua. Mishnah says in Masech HaShvuos that when the Bezdin administers a Shvuos HaDayanim, a Moedah B'Miktsas, a Shvuos HaYedechot, a Shvuos HaShemrim, so they have to have the person swear on a Bible. Put your hand on the Bible and you swear. That's called the Shvuah B'Nikitas Chev. Kitas Chev doesn't have to mean that he holds a Sefer Torah like this. It says in Shulchan Aruch, he puts his hand on a Sefer Torah. It's also called the Nikitas Chev. Now, Avraham Avinu didn't have a Sefer Torah. He had only a Bris Milah. So we want to have a Sefer Torah because people will be more serious when they have a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says that Talmud Chacham knows the significance of Kedushas HaTfilin. So you can be, if a Talmud Chacham has a Din Torah and it's his turn to swear, so you can have him swear holding onto a pair of Tfilin, that's also good. But if it's not a Talmud Chacham, you should insist on having Dafke Sefer Torah. How do we learn out from this pasuk what this was a Shvuos HaDayanim? What Eliezer Eved Avram was a Moedah B'Miktsas or an Eid Echad? What does it have to do with Shvuos HaDayanim? that the Gemara derives from this pasuk. So the Pashto says the Gemara is just deriving from the pasuk that the Shvua b'Nikitas Chepetz is more serious than the Shvua b'Lina Kitas Chepetz. That's why Avraham Avinu insisted. He wanted to have the most serious Shvua that you can possibly have. So we learn now from the pasuk that there's such a Chaloshem as a Shvua. There is no din of Shvua alayayin, but the Kiddush alayayin, Abdol alayayin, Tichaseris and alayayin. So why not require to make the Shvua more serious? You should say Baruch Yadofen, and then say the Shvua and then drink it. So that's meaningless. Abroch alakos is only a Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, a swear alayayin has no significance. So who says that it has significance if you hold on to a Cheftashon Mitzvah? So that's what we learn out from the Pasuk, that there is added significance. The Shvua, the Nikita Shevis, is considered more serious, and the Bezim, when they administer the Shvua, they should administer the most serious Shvua that they can possibly conjure up in their mind. What is this related to? What? The Shvua with Amaisa? I don't know. You have to give it some thought. The Ran in the Dorim quotes in the name of the Gaonim, and he disagrees. He quotes in the name of the Gaonim that a Shvua b'Nikitas Chepetz is more serious than a plain Shvua. Ein lo hafar ve'ein lo hatorah. Let's say a woman takes a Shvua b'Nikitas Chepetz, so the husband doesn't have the ability to be made for it. And normally you can go to a bezin, make hatoras and dorm. A Shvua b'Nikitas Chepetz does not lend itself to hafarah, does not lend itself to hatorah. It's more serious than any Shvua one can conjure up. But Iran says that he never heard of such a thing. He doesn't agree with the Gaonim. They made it up. But that's what they're driving at. I mean, part of what they said is Muskim L'chol Hades. That's the idea of a Shvua b'Nikitas Chepetz. Al Pidin is considered a more serious Shvua than a Shvua b'Lina Kitas Chepetz. So that whole institution is derived from this pasuk. Now, why did Avraham Avinu give instructions, such strict instructions? Rakas b'ni lo sashav shama. So the Medrash explains because this occurred after the Akedah. And on the occasion of the Akedah, Yitzchak was hukdash as an oila tmima, as a carbon oila. The din is that every carbon has a makom. If you take the carbon chutz l'makom, it becomes nifsal b'yotze. Even if you bring it back in, once it's yotze, it's nifsal b'yotze. Normally, a carbon can only begin to become nifsal b'yotze after shchita. Before shchita, while the animal is alive, a person can be magdash an animal here in New York and then fly it to Eretz Yisrael, bring it by boat to Eretz Yisrael. It's a silly thing. Why should he be magdish an animal here? Bring it to Eretz Yisrael, take the money, and buy an animal there, and be magdish there. It doesn't make sense. But strictly speaking, you don't say it's nifsal b'yotzei. The psulim of yotzei and lina and so on only begin after shchita. So here the Medrash understands that v'ikach Avraham esayil v'yaleh liol tachas b'no. When Avraham Avinu brought the isle as a carbon, the avodas that he did to the isle were considered as if they were chal on his son Yitzchak. So Yitzchak was treated actually like a korban la'achar shchita, that it could become nifsal b'yotze. So where is the makam of the korban? So every korban has a different makam. Kachi kachim, the makam is the azara. Kachim kachim, the makam is Yerushalayim. If you bring kachi kachim out of the azara, all emurim have the status of kachi kachim. Even emurim of kachim kalim, the Mishnah says, in Zvachim, have the status of kachi kachim. So if you take emurim, chutz la'azara, if you take bisar kachi kachim, chutz la'azara, it'll be nifsal b'yotze. If you take the bizarre kachim kalim chutz l'Yerushalayim, it'll be nifsal b'yotze. What was the makam over here? So apparently that's what the makam says. Apparently the makam was, the Medrash says, that the makam was Eretz Yisrael. The makam was Eretz Yisrael. So because Yitzchak Avinu was hukdash as a korban, and at the time of Hakrovas Ayel, it's considered as if the Aved is done to the Ayel, were done to Yitzchak, so he could become nifsal b'yotze. So Avram insists, the Rakas b'ni lo sashim shama. Yitzchak himself didn't understand that. He didn't chap why he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So later it says, "Vayira bars melevad aravah v'yishana shehoya b'me Abraham." Vayerid Yitzchak el Avimelech Melech Gerara, el Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerara. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, he was going to go down to Mitzrayim the same as Avraham Avinu did. Yitzchak did everything the same as his father. Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yitzchak and says, "No, good baritz hazos, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Your father was allowed to go, he wasn't korev as a korban, but you're an oilat mima. If you'll go to chutzlot, you'll be nifsal b'yotze." So that was Avraham Avinu's kavana from the first minute when he told Eliezer, Rakas b'ni lo sash v'shama, but Yitzchak didn't realize that, he didn't understand that. So that's why he thought that he was permitted to leave. Do we have such a halacha taka that all of Eretz Yisrael has a special status regarding Hakrobas Karbonis. We know Yerushalayim has Kedusha, Harabayis has Kedusha, Hazara has Kedusha. All of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha B'negiyot to Karbonis. So that's the first comment that the Mechilta has, in the first paragraph in the Mechilta on Chumash Shmos. I think it's on Parshas Bo. I don't think there is any Mechilta on Shmos Ve'er. It starts on Parshas Bo. So it says, Ad shelo nivchara Eretz Yisrael ha'yikol ha'rotzis k'sherim le'hakrovas ha'karbonis. Mishin nivchara Eretz Yisrael, there was only a het, when there was a het abamas, the het abamas was only in Eretz Yisrael. In the days that there was a het abama, after Yerushalayim, after the Beit HaMikdash was built, so the Mishnah says Yerushalayim ha'nachra ha'heta, there's no longer a het abamas. Before Yerushalayim was built, and there was a het abamas for different periods of time. So the bamas were only permissible in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz there was no hefta bamas. So apparently that's what the Medrash is saying over here. Rakas b'ni l'asah shem shama, because Yitzchak was had the status of a carbon, and at that time they knew that they're not supposed to bring carbonas in Chutz La'aretz. It's already considered mishinivchara Eretz Yisrael. At the end of the parsha, you have a startling statement. V'yiten Avram eskola shelo liYitzchak. Avram Avinu, getting old, he's going to die. He gives away all of his money to Yitzchak, and he gives the Bnei Pilakshim, his children, matanos. He gives them, each one gets a little matana. Don't we? So the Rishonim ask a kasha, isn't there a din? The one is forbidden to be Mare Nachla. You're not allowed to take away the Yerusha from one of your children. Even though one is a bigger tzaddik than the other one, it's not permissible to be Ma'av and Achla. So what's going on over here? Why does Avram Avinu? It said the next pasuk that he dies. Avram Avinu dies. So right before he dies, he gives over the whole Yerusha to Yitzchak, and he gives a couple of peanuts to the Bnei Apilaksha. What's going on? So some of the different suggestions are given in the Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim say, Pashut, we have a din in the Gemara, that there is no kurva between a Jew and a Goy. It can only be kurva between two non-Jews or between two Jews. There's no kurva. A Jewish person marries a non-Jewish person, not tvisas kiddusha, because there can't be any kurva between a Jew and a goy. Or let's say a non-Jew converts, so he's no longer related to the rest of the family. Gershon is gaya kotin shenol adam. He's not related to the rest of the people. But strictly speaking, the Gershon is gaya does not yarshin aviv hagoy, so it's not related anymore. But the rabbanon kadesh ala yachzal esuro. So the Gemara says in kiddusha, made a takana that the Gershon be Yerusha's father. The reverse, there is no such thing. Let's say a man converts and the convert dies. So his non-Jewish relatives who used to be related to him, did they yarshin? So they don't yarshin, not minatar, not with the rabban. Minatar, they don't yarshin because katan shenol adam, they're not related. And with the rabban, they never made any takon. They only made a takon in the other direction, that the ger yarshin is the non-Jewish relatives, because we're concerned if the non-Jewish relative will die and there's $1 million Yerusha, he may convert back to his former religion in order to get the Yerusha. So in order not to discourage him from, they shouldn't think he has to convert back, they said he does get Yerusha Midirabbana. So that's what some Rishonim say over here. Avraham Avinu was told, Kibi Yitzchak Yikor L'Chozera. He was told that you're Jewish, and not all of your children will be Jewish. Only Yitzchak will be Jewish. And Yitzchak had twin sons, Yankiv and Esav, so he was told, only Yankiv is Jewish. Esav, the twin, is not Jewish. From the time of Yankiv Avinu on, he was Mitos Shleim, all of his children were Jewish. But before the days of Yankiv Avinu, there was no such concept that all the children are Jewish. Only one of them was Jewish. So Avraham Avinu only had Alpidin, he was only related to the one son Yitzchak. The Bin Apilakshim, strictly speaking, they were non-Jews, so he wasn't related to them. You can't have a kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So it is not considered cutting them out of the Yerusha.
So there was no kurva between Avraham and Sarah?
We assume that Sarah was also Megayer. They were both Jewish. Avram was Jewish and Sarah was Jewish. So they married. They got married after they both converted. First they were married before they converted. And then they remarried after they converted. The Chumash doesn't describe how they met. The Chumash describes Yitzchak Shidduch, and it describes Yankel Avinu Shidduch, describes Moshe Abeinu Shidduch, and doesn't describe Avram Avinu Shidduch. That's what the Kedusha Slavi says. He says, how did he meet Sarah? Halloween party, New Year's Eve party, Anaf Kamina. They weren't Jewish. So that doesn't deserve to be recorded in the Chumash. Chumash only records Teredik and Shidduch. A religious person has to, everything should be Teredik, including his dating. So the Chumash describes the way the Shidduchim came about because it was in a holy fashion. But Avraham Avinu became Jewish after he was married already, so his shidduch doesn't belong in the Chumash. Yeah. Were that even if they were Megayer, I mean that would be cut in Shadal Adami. That would be a gank of cut in Shadal Adami. His son Yitzchak, he was told Yitzchak Kavach Azera, he's related. Avram was married to his wife Sarah, and the son Yitzchak was related. The Bnei Apilakshim, apparently when they were born, they were not Jewish, and each one had to convert on his own. So if they converted, fine, but it's going to be cut in Shadal Adami. Apparently it wasn't necessarily the case that any time there's a Jewish mother, all the children are Jewish. Yankiv and Esav were twins. Esav was a non-Jew and Yankiv was Jewish. Only from the time of Yankiv on, that's what the Gemara says, that was Mitos and Shlomo. All of his children were Jewish. That didn't exist before the days of Yankiv Avin. Only one of the children from the same husband and wife, only one of the children would be Jewish and the others would not be Jewish. So only Kibitzlik Karla Chazer. Even if Sarah would have had more children, not only because Bnei Apilaksha, even if Sarah would have had more children, the only one who would have been Jewish, Mileda, would have been Yitzchak.
Really?
The descendants of all of these people, Avram Megayeres Anoshim, Sarah Megayeres Anoshim, the descendants were not necessarily Jewish. This was before the days of Yankel Avinu. Even the days of Yankel Avinu, whenever you have a Jewish parent, so the children are going to be Jewish. But before the days of Yankel Avinu, it was not necessarily so. Only those whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Yitzchak, Kol HaChazera, so the children will be Jewish. I guess each ger was on his own. And then when he had children, each one is on his own. Each one has the right to choose whatever religion he wants to belong to.
Rabbi, could you please define Yiddish dating? Like, he had a shidduch, but Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu, they went to the local watering hole.
Okay, that's a good way.
So what?
To see if the girl is a balas chesed, that's what to look for. To act in its nizdika fashion. I'm supposed to speak about this on Sunday night. At Mount Sinai. Senior at Sinai, you know? 8 o'clock Sunday night.